session number 16310, reel 3.
Eager, reel 2, side 3. Harold, before we leave Mesopotamia, can you tell me a bit more about you flew on operations, didn't you? Bombing operations.
Where? In Mesopotamia?
In Mesopotamia.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me of any particular incidents, you know, when you were bombing and so on?
Well, I didn't go out bombing.
You didn't?
Not me.
No.
But they went out. What they went out more or less for was to keep the peace. You see, they was afraid of the aircraft. They should run like hell when they see an aircraft come over. And it was the only way they could keep them was to keep the RAF there.
So these were rebel Arabs?
Rebel Arabs, yes. There was no Bedouins always on the move. You see, we had to put these flights out in Marseille because we didn't have the aircraft. Didn't have the aircraft.
So, I mean,
You see, it takes such a long time to get them out there. They never flew out there.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're still in Mesopotamia. Well,
you had the snipes coming out. Yeah.
Well, he said to me, "Can you build this snipe before you go home?" So I said, "Yes, I'll build it for you." And you'll see me on the picture there with the mechanic that I had with me. And we built it us two. I'm standing by it. You'll see me standing by it. That is taken on Baghdad Aerodrome in 1921. That was taken at the end of 1921. So I said, "All right." So I built it. We got a long engine, you know. We tested it. Engine, all right. And the engineer come out, test it, all right. "All right, Mr. Green, she's all ready for you." "All right," he said, "Corporal or Sergeant, I'll take her up." "Right, off we go." I said, "You can't take me this time, can you?" He said, "No, I can't." "No," he said, "all right." Off he went.
Well, single seater, I suppose.
It was single seater. Went up. And when he come back, he landed this bloody snipe. He said, "She's an hell of a mess. She's right wing low. She keeps bloody turning round." He said, "I don't know what you're going to do with her." So I said, "No." He said, "That's all right, Harold. She's lovely. Lovely," she said. "She's a beautiful aircraft." I said, "Thank you." The old man thanked me for doing it. Then I come home. When I come home, I've done the time. I'd done for 4 years. I got 4 years reserve to do. I was sent to Uxbridge, got took up before the CO, for fraternising with under ranks. Because you see, I've been able, so used to it for 3 years out there, you know, that it was natural for me to go out with the boys. I got pulled up, the rep gets pulled me up in Uxbridge, reported me.
Well, you're all in uniform.
I'm all in uniform. I never wore the blue uniform, you know.
You're in the Army uniform, were you?
No, I was in the Air Force. No, I was in what's name? Khaki Drill.
Oh, Khaki Drill, yeah.
We was all in khaki out there. We used to wear our badge, this colour one, on the side of our topies. And if you went into Baghdad, you had to take, a pilot had to take all their decorations, all their signatures off, all NCOs, all off. We had a special coat we used to go there for, because they used to nasty have a following you behind you and stabbing you. I used to carry a dagger. Well, Pearlander dagger in my upper sleeve.
They stabbed
stab you in the back.
Military people, you mean?
No, all the Arabs. All the Arabs.
But you had to take all your military ranks.
All the military ranks off.
Yeah.
Not going to show. Not to show them who you were.
Did you go into Baghdad a lot?
No, we put on a show in Baghdad once called Charlie's Aunt. And we had one airman there. He made a beautiful Charlie Chaplin. And we had one of the other airmen. He was a beautiful girl. And when he got up in his clothes, well, they used to chase him all around the camp. And you know, we done that up there.
What do you do for women out there?
You weren't allowed any women.
You weren't? No, you
just have to drink half a pint of pure lime juice every day.
Well, that stopped you being interested.
That's right.
And did it?
Yes.
But some of the lads got up to mischief, didn't they?
Oh, no, nobody. They did up once there. They went up to a place called Bakuber. There were some Arab girls there. But well, I never went up there. I went into Wassam Abitouf done once in the bazaar in Baghdad, and they craned it with a Wassam there, and he split my lip. And I went back, cool, did the old man give it to me? Cool, for going to a private dentist. Well, anyway, coming back to Mesopotamia, while I was there, I've been in some very places of very interest. I was there is built the biggest unsupported arch in the world. There, I've been in the Garden of Eden, which is inverted, and I've been to Babylon with the Hanging Gardens. I've been to all them. And when we was coming home, he said, you've got to go home by rail. Now this is another story. No rail. You get a train to go down in, down the Euphrates, not down the Tigris. Because it was, you know, there was the two rivers, then one was, because that's the name Mesopotamia, Land of Two Rivers. So I get up to this station or something, and I see him loading some tracks already made up on a truck at the back. So I said, wait, what the hell is all this then? You'll want to find out on the way coming down. You get down so far, and you'll find after buddy track had been taken. Arms have pinched it. They get out, lay another track, and go on further. Three times we had to stop for that, go to Basra. Well, I went to Basra, and I got on a ship there. I went back to Bombay, rest camp. And I picked up a boat, a German boat, called the Brandenburg. Also coal. And that had been a cargo boat, and they turned it into a troop ship. And all down the bottom there, you had to go down steps into the holds, and you got tables down there, and hammocks slung, you know. Anyway, so we left there, Brighton in there now. I don't know what you'll cut, but anyway, we started the first airmail route from Heliopolis to Baghdad in 1921. We went across Arabian deserts in tenders, costly tenders, and made different spots for landing. We drove across the desert right from Baghdad to Heliopolis, as was in Cairo, right through Abakir and right across the canal. We put all and the
You put fuel dumps and things. Eh? You put fuel dumps and things.
That's right, yeah. All down there. And the first craft that came was a 10. I got a photograph of her here, and she crashed. A 10 was built like a boat. It had 400 horsepower engines on 2 bearers up in the wings, and it was a D8 spur. And the undercarriage was a single undercarriage, fixed, with the 2 struts, axles, and when she come over, she hit the ground and took the undercarriage right off, smashed her smithereens up there. I forgot about that one.
Anyhow, back to the Brandenburg, the ship from.
Yeah, Brandenburg. We left there and we got home, and we got off of Southampton. And took all their blankets away that night. Got off the boat and went to Uxbridge, where I was discharged.
But you were had up for fraternising.
That's right, had up for fraternising there. Then we discharged. I was discharged at the rank of corporal. I lost my rank when I got in. I was only acting when I was out there, acting sergeant. I lost the rank. I'll come out as a corporal. And anyhow, then I come home. We went home to New Haven. I applied to the Imperial Airways because they turned Mustang Northolt into the London Airport, didn't they? First London Airport. And they said, we don't want you. You're army trained. So I was out of work. So I went down in the docks. And I saw the commander. We've always got a job for you. You go painting the ships in it when they come up. So when the summer come, they said, you want a job? I said, yes. Well, he said, have you ever been steward? I said, no. Oh, and he said, we put you on the summer traffic, steward on the boats. So I went on the boat, and the first boat that I got on was the same boat that took me from Boulogne to Boulogne when I was on the stretcher. The same ship.
Do you remember its name?
Brighton. SS Brighton. I was on the same ship. So anyhow,
That would go over to Dieppe, would it?
Go to Dieppe. Yeah. But anyhow, then I, of course, went in the Merchant Navy. And I was in the Merchant Navy up to when the war broke out. You want that? When the war broke out.
Yeah, yeah.
The second war broke out. We was taken over by the Navy. So we goes in the Navy then. That's why I get the three services.
Before we get to the war, though, can you tell me a bit about your pre-war work on the cross-channel boats?
Steward.
Yeah, you're a steward, but I mean...
The same with that ship there, Brighton that I was on.
Yeah.
We left New Haven one night, and we were mail boats, and we never stopped. Were there any passengers or not? We still had the two services, a boat going in night in the day, and a boat going at night. The night boat was to take the mail. Any passengers or not, didn't matter. Anyhow, we left New Haven one night at 10 o'clock we used to leave. We said, do in Dieppe at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we got out there. There was one sea said there was a mountain, and the ship was only 1,000 tons, 10-foot draft. That's all that ship was. And we got across there. We didn't make any way at all. Anyhow, daylight, we was creeping over there, half speed, God knows what. Anyhow, we got there, 10 o'clock the next morning, and covered in ice. Covered in ice. And I went over there once. Coming into New Haven Harbour, I was on another ship then. We had different ships, you see, called the Dieppe. What's name Bill Porter, the Irish Lord Moyne.
Yeah,
so he bought her. And we got in there, there's a bar over across the, I just snatched a piece coming to in low tide. A sea got up the back of her and pushed her right up over on by the breakwater on the sand. Passengers aboard. Anyhow, while we was there, out come the tug, you know, to give us, tow us off. She broke down. She went back. Lifeboat come out to us. She broke down, went back. Then a little tug come out to us, Richmere. And we got a line to this Richmere to tow us, you see. And we showed a line to him. He got the line. And his hat blew off. So let go of the running line and save his hat. And he went on the rocks and wrecked her. Well, as we laid there, was an old, these little, we used to call fishing boats called the longliners. Old wooden boats they were. She would come soaring over the bar, come up and ask us if we wanted any help. Whatever. And yeah, they got us off. And they pulled us off and they pulled us and they let go of us and went straight across on the other pier and went through that bloody pier there. That finished us. I done there. Then when the war, I said the war, so that was
me,
when...
Can you tell me a little bit about the sort of people who used to be...
Oh, the people I used to... We covered... The passengers were all actresses and all celebrities because there was no flying. I've seen... what's her name? The actresses up on the tables, dancing, jockeys. I met all the famous jockeys. Gina Dare, the Dare family. Gina Dare, she used to come over. And another one, married Captain Pearson. We should meet all the celebrities. We had the Prince of Wales come down there once.
So you had quite a high class of service on board.
Oh yes, it was the service was a silver service. We had carvers and all on board. We had a coal fire in the galley to cook the stuff. And all the stuff used to be put on the saloon on a carving table. And the bread used to be put in loaves on the board, on the table with a knife, so they cut them themselves. And all the chairs was all screwed to the floor and the tables. There was no carpets, but there was a runner-up between the chairs. And it, when it was rough, we used to have to put what they call fiddles on the table.
What were those?
They were a frame that fitted on the table with a place for the cup or glass and the plate. We used to put them on, so when she rolled, she laid in there. And
what sort of food did you serve?
Oh, we had good food. It was all, we had roast beef, chicken, and we had hot meal. Then we had we served mostly cold meals with salads. We had roast beef, and we used to have hams. Ham used to stand on the stand in there. They should go up to the table and tell the carver what they wanted. And he used to cut it and carve it up. And that used to cost 4 shillings.
What, the meal?
The meal. Yeah. Used to have soup or hors d'oeuvres, a main meal, sweet, biscuits and cheese and coffee. 4 shillings.
And then wine if they wanted it, I suppose.
Wine was separate. The wine, a bottle of champagne on board a ship was 10 shillings.
Well, because it was all duty free as well in
those. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We used to buy our own tobacco and cigarettes on board a ship. And we used to go, one time we used to be on a day boat. If you went out, you left New Haven at 12 o'clock midday, and you used to go over, you arrived in Dieppe at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It would take 3 hours. It'd be 25 knot boats.
That's very good going.
Yeah, 25 knot boats. And you used to go in harbour, and in Dieppe Harbour, I don't know if you've ever been to Dieppe. Right, about sea wall, right up the top end, we used to go right up there. Of course, the customs was on the side, and they used to push their nose in the ship. These ships, they push their nose right in that corner, and used to come astern on one engine. Woo! And they put that boat in there like putting a car on, in a pace bracket was then. And then, after all the passengers gone, then a boat used to come alongside, take your rope wire, take it across the harbour and put it on the bollard, and used to pull the ship away to turn around to go back again. She wouldn't turn around either. And that's where the two ships used to go up there. Right? You don't go up there now, you go up further up the harbour. But that's where we used to go. And there used to be two trains there, one going to Paris and one going to Bordeaux. And we used to have a Duane, he was going there on the gangway, rifle with a gun loaded. And you see, when the gangway was there, when the Paris train was over there, right alongside the ship, over there, right on the road, the train used to go through the town. And then this other train used to come up, you see. Well, that gangway, the Washington couldn't stand there, you see. He had to get out of the way. So if we got anything going ashore, we should send a bloke down to the luggage van on the Bordeaux train, get him to open the door, and as the door come up nearly level with the gangway, we used to get up with the goods and chuck them in, then go up the station, up the town station where she used to stop again and take it off.
What's that for?
Smuggling goods.
Oh, I see.
Smuggling, you know, doing and getting a hard shilling or two. And then what?
The train actually went through customs without being checked.
No, the passengers get off the boat.
Yeah.
Then they go from the customs into the train. You see, but the train has got to go by.
Yeah.
No, the passengers are all in the train.
But the passengers are doing the smuggling.
Eh?
No,
for us, from shore, selling it, our goods ashore.
Yeah.
Like meats, you see, lamb was very dear over there then. So were cigarettes. And another time I was there, I'll never forget it, we were in there, so the lad said to me, blimey, I said, we got some cigarettes we want to get ashore. Nobody customs there. I said, well, what about it? He said, I'll tell you what. Because it's all made streets around the docks here, you know, you lose yourself. He said, look, well, if you go up, he said, and throw a brick through the customs window, he said, he'd better leave the gangway. He said, to see what's happened. Then we get him ashore. See? Get in the maze, he can't find us. So I said, no. He said, yeah, will I? Well, I said, about me then. He said, you've got to run, do. So he said, don't catch you. So they don't know it's you, who's done it. So I went up, went round the back of the Western, threw the bricks of the customs and run like hell. And they got the cigarettes for sure. Yeah. You see, we used to walk out and say, but the worst time we had there was when the war broke out.
What, in 39?
Yeah. We was going night and day, getting the people out of France. You know, we got them all out. And when we got them all out, they was very, one of them, one fella, they'd been living over in France paying nothing.
Are these all civilians?
Some of these passengers, you know, getting all the English people out of France. Said, like they did it on the Channel Islands. And somebody, well, a service here. I said, look, mister, well, for us, you wouldn't bloody well come over here at all. I said, we've been over here three times today. I said, we're going back in to get some more of them. You shut up and get out of it. I'll report you. I said, you go ahead and report me. I don't care. You go and report me. I said, we're tired out. Anyhow, then when the war broke out, you see, they took us over. I come down to Southampton. Was made a troop ship. We should pick up the troops, go down and lay off the forts till it was dark, form up a convoy, and go over to France, over to Cherbourg, Brest, or wherever it was. And in a convoy, the slowest ship goes first. We get out there one night with a bloody ship doing 6 knots. We're doing 25. So we're staying back. And the torpedo boats used to come after us, chase us on, you see. Well, when we got so far over...
German ones.
No, English, their escort.
Yeah.
We had escort, torpedo boats. When we got over so far, the French used to take us over.
Yeah.
And we should go into Cherbourg, there, unload the troops, and then pick up the people that want to come home, or the post, or anything like that. But what always amused us, and always was there, that there was a canteen on the quay at Cherbourg. Because we was in the Merchant Navy, they wouldn't serve us. We just brought them over. Bring all their stuff over. And coming back, we never had no escort back. No fear. We had to zigzag our way over, like that.
Well, you weren't carrying any troops, that's why.
It was carrying some.
Yeah.
People coming on leave, but not a lot.
Yeah.
But that's what we should go like that. We should go there night after night, doing this business. Get back into Southampton, load up again. We got all the troops over there. Then they put us, made us into a hospital ship. And we were sent from Southampton back to Dieppe. And Dieppe was a casualty station. And when Jerry started his capers and getting down a bit close there, he started it. He put a bomb right down there running funnel. Blew us up, and we was loading wounded, and he machine gunned us on the quay.
This was in Dieppe, was it?
Yeah, in Dieppe. We had to run for it, get out of the way. Well, anyhow, we run for it and got out on the road up by the golf links in Dieppe. We kept off the main roads for one reason, because all France main roads in France are tree lined. You can see the roads by the trees. That's how they put it. So when you got there, we got up on the golf course there, and one of the engineers said to me, look, Harold, there's a car. I said, yeah, what about it? You can drive, can't you? I said, yeah. Come on, boys, get in the bloody car. So we got in the car and drove down to St. Valery-on-Caux.
Your ship had been wrecked, had it? Destroyed?
Destroyed, yes, he sunk.
Yeah.
And
this was, when was this? About May? This is 1940 now, isn't it?
It was 1941, wasn't it?
No, but before Dunkirk, was this?
Yes, just before Dunkirk.
Just before Dunkirk.
Yeah.
About April 1940.
That's right, about 40, yes.
Yeah.
And I got a job and remember all this back again. And we lost the ship. And got back to Dunkirk. We got taken over back home onto the of course it was, yes, because I'll tell you if this comes in here, because the had landed at Shoreham.
You were taken off at St. Valery, were you?
Got on a coal boat.
Yeah.
To go home.
At St. Valery.
It's from St. Valery on coal.
Yeah.
And we went back to New Haven. Right, they said. You've got to go on that ship that I just showed you just now, the Paris. You've got to go to Dunkirk. So we went to Dunkirk. We got there, went in and picked up the wounded. It was out of a mess that was. Terrible.
You were off the beach, were you?
No, we were on in the harbour. We went.
Oh, you went into the harbour?
We've shadow draft.
Yeah.
I tell you what, ship was sunk just outside there, Gracie Fields. Mm. She was there. Went down on the quay there, and then, and we went ashore to get a drink and started shelling us. And when we come back in the Empire, we went by a Bijou. You know, a Bijou is a jeweler shop.
Jeweler shop, yeah.
And we said, well, when we come back next time, it's all right. Loaded up, but the tragedy of it was, is when you're coming out, and all these men swimming round you, trying to get aboard, and you're loaded right the way down. You can't take them. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't do it.
You had them all over the decks, and everything.
You have low everywhere. Oh, one day there, we had close on 3,000 troops on airship. 1,000 tonner. Anyhow, we took as many as we could. And we took them back to New Haven, where they was waiting for us. Then we turned around and go back again. When we got off of Gravelines, that's the, between Ostend and Dunkirk, all that sand along there is called the Gravelines. Got along there, he come and done his same old stunt. He put a ruddy ring round us.
Oh, bombs.
Bomb. He hit us. Started sinking. Abandoned ship. And the galley boy had been hit with a bit of shrapnel in his leg, and so he said, right boys, quick, because all the lifeboats had to be manhandled. There's no machines in them, it's all going to be rowed 12 foot oars. So he said, well, look, come on quick down to Nazareth, get all the stuff in we can, cigarettes and stuff, and put in that lifeboat over there. We got a horse one gate already, put the boy in there, and we go in there and what's them. So said, all right. So we started lowering the boats, and when we lowered this one, we could have cried our eyes out. It was riddled with bloody shrapnel. She sunk. We had to get the boy out. So anyhow, that was that ship I showed you there. They said, all right, tie all the lifeboats together. We tied all the lifeboats together, you know, each one. Captain and that in the front, taking the lead of us. And of course, I said there's 12-foot oars. One man pulling a 12-foot oar. You try to swing them up there like that. Anyway, we got onto a tug. He said, where are you going, lads? He said, where you're not going, we're going home. He said, all right. I said, I'll go over and get a few. He said, I'll tow you home. And he towed us back. Towed us home. And we got home. And I said, all right, next thing I heard, you've got to go to Falmouth. Falmouth? What for? You've got to join, there's some trouble with the trouble of the Belgians on a Belgian ship. There's some troops and that, and they've got to be got out at Brest. So we went down. We took a snotty with us and a couple of sailors. You know what a snotty is?
Midshipman.
No. Sub.
Sub.
Sub. Anyway,